Welcome to Daily Oral Theology. Chuck Meether here, and today we look at worldview. A worldview is a comprehensive set of basic or ultimate beliefs that fit together in a consistent or coherent manner. A full worldview would include answers to the following questions: what kinds of realities are out there, and what is ultimately real? What explanation can be given of reality? What is knowledge, and how do we gain it? For the purpose of simplicity, we're not going to get into all of those kinds of deep questions, but we are going to look at a biblical worldview, or really a Christian outlook. So our questions might be, you call yourself a Christian, but what does that mean? From what perspective do you see the world? How should you be any different than those outside of the body of Christ? What does it mean to be truly distinctive as a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ? So within that paradigm, we look at four areas: motivation, standard, purpose, and practice. What moves you? Who rules you? What is your goal in life? What is your practice? We look at motivation. Our motivation ought to be faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. 1 Corinthians 6:6-7. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So that's motivation. We are moved by our faith, and the object of that faith is our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we go from there to standard, and that's God's law. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 119:1, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So what does this law do for us? Well, in short, three things. The law is theological. It reflects God, the attributes of God. Number two, the law is pedagogical. It restrains evil. We know our sin from the law. And three, the law is ethical. It reveals what is pleasing to God. Again, the law reflects God, restrains evil, reveals what is pleasing to God. Or you could put it this way, it is theological, pedagogical, and ethical. So we've had motivation, standard, and now we move on to purpose. What is our purpose? In the Shorter Catechism, we are asked, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. In Romans 15, 5-6, we learn, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And then those two verses also from Paul that tells us what we are to do. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's 1 Corinthians 10:31, and Colossians 3:23 and 24 are similar to that. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So we've had motivation, standard, purpose, and now finally we conclude with practice. Our practice ought to be love. 1 Corinthians 13, a few verses from this section of Scripture. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And then finally, Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's our Christian outlook, where we have motivation, we have our standard, we have our purpose, and we have our practice.